Good morning, church. It's good to be with you on this Sunday. I heard you all had a wonderful Sunday this past weekend as we held the reception for Pastor Dave, and Matt did a great job with our worship, and Danielle stepped up as well. Emily and I appreciated our time away. I got to take my wife horseback riding for her birthday, and I just got the feeling back in my legs yesterday, so it was a good week. It was a lot of fun. That was a good week. A few announcements before we get started. Don't forget, we have our town hall immediately following worship. No covered dish, but we will have birthday cake as we celebrate birthday and anniversary Sunday. Jackie Pasquinelli provided us a real treat. She put all our pictures from our day of mission that she took on a flash drive. So I'll set up the computer while we're eating our birthday cake, and you can see what all the different groups did and all the fun they had on our day of mission. But I want to thank you all again for what a wonderful success that was, and what a great opportunity for us to be a part of our community. Excuse me. Camp Zimmerman is hosting their Black Sheep Barbecue on Sunday, October 13th from noon to 2:30. Dinners are $10, and you can dine in or take out. Tickets must be purchased by next Sunday, so go see Tim Northrup in the back, or see Pasquinelli, who's now gone, so see Tim Northrup in the back about getting some tickets. ZEC will be meeting on Tuesday night at 7 p.m., a reminder to the youth to get registered for our fall retreat, which will be the first week in November in Indiana. If you're interested in going, please let me know. I can talk to Scott Miner as well and make sure we got you set up for a ride on the van. Also, joint board reminder, next Sunday, immediately after worship, we're going to have pizza with Chris Baugh from the Moravian Ministries Foundation, just to get an update from him and talk about some of the possible investment opportunities we have with the Dunzer Trust and other resources. Also, Sunday school is off to a great start. Please don't forget, plenty of opportunities for kids and adults. Three different adult classes. Once again, we have videos that teach. Paula Drum's class is diving deep into Scripture, and Carolyn and Danielle are doing some seasonal things with all our adult education class in Fellowship Hall. I'm excited about all of those opportunities. And think you have a great chance no matter what class you decide to be a part of. Does anybody else have any other announcements they want to share? Yeah, Tim.
Just to add to Cam Zimmerman, as always, if you want to buy dinner, don't want to go to Zimmerman, I'm back there at 3 o'clock to anybody to purchase.
What was that, Tim? I didn't hear it all. Go ahead.
If anybody wants to purchase tickets and don't want to drive out to Cam Zimmerman, I bring dinner back here every time, so you can pick them up here.
Gotcha. Yeah, they are happy to deliver to you, so that will be taken care of. It is a great meal. Emily and I got to enjoy it last year. Any other announcements? All right, before we greet one another, I'm going to share our September anniversaries and birthdays. In September, our anniversaries were Jim and Kathy Cummings, Bill and Carolyn Menapace, Scott and Melinda Nisley, Jason and Letitia Wright. Our birthdays were Joe Northrup, Tiffany Swaldo, Amy Pasquinelli, Tyler Castor, Abby Bennington, Emily Lippert, Melinda Nisley, and Ryan Castor. At this time, let us join together. Please rise as we join together to sing the Moravian Birthday Hymn. Let us greet one another.
Morning, Dana.
Morning.
You may remain standing as we join together in our watchword of the week this week. Our watchword this week comes from the first chapter of Timothy, chapter 6, verse 6. There is great gain in godliness combined with contentment. Amen. You may be seated.
Please stand. Children of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, endurance, and gentleness.
Let us fight the good fight of faith.
Let us not set our sight on the riches or be haughty with the gifts we have been given.
Let us be rich in good works, generous and ready to share. We have all been gifted the vast treasure of salvation in Christ Jesus.
Please remain standing as we sing hymn 665.
Thank you.
We'll join together now in our Christian education commissioning, a great opportunity for us to remember as Moravians that education is a huge part of our sense of mission, our sense of calling. Everywhere Moravians have sent missionaries, it's never been just with Bibles in hand, but it's been to build a hospital and to build schools for people as well, because we know that education is a source of connection, a source of pride, and a source of building a better life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge God, and God will direct your paths. We are called into Christian fellowship by the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the eternal purpose of God the Father, by the Holy Spirit, and as members of Christ's body, the church, to serve all people by proclaiming the gospel and witnessing to our faith by word and deed. The triune God as revealed in the Holy Scripture of the Old and New Testament is the only source of our life and salvation. And this scripture is the sole standard of the doctrine and the faith of the Moravian Church and therefore shapes our life. We realize that our Christian faith must continuously be nourished if it is to remain living and vital. Therefore, we desire to grow in our Christian lives through family devotions, personal prayer and study, and the opportunity for spiritual development offered by the church. As parents, remember that our children belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and we'll take all possible care to preserve them from every evil influence. For this reason, we will seek to prove ourselves as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, setting an example for our children, both in the home and in the church. We pray for all expressions and forms of Christian education, for all who teach and all who learn, that through the faithful use of their gifts, all may grow in love and gratitude to God and in relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for and give thanks for those in our congregation who have been called to teach and serve, and we call upon them to offer themselves to their special calling. At this time, I ask all parents to stand. Parents, and those assisting with the raising of children, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling?
We offer ourselves to the special calling we have received, with God's help and the promise to set an example for our children and to encourage them in their Christian development. We promise to provide for their attendance at worship and Sunday school, and for their
At this time, parents may be seated. Teachers and small group leaders may please stand. We think especially of Carolyn Menapace, who will be our CEC director and one of our Sunday school teachers this year. Becky Canfield, who will be teaching our Videos That Teach class once again. For Emily Lippert and Erica Hansen Stafford and Katie Raves, who will be teaching our youth in the youth Sunday school class. For Danielle Rossi, who will be assisting in the seasonal Sunday school class. For me, as I lead our confirmation class, our cares and prayers group, our spiritual companioning group, we hold them in prayer. Teachers and small group leaders, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling?
We offer ourselves to
With God's help, we promise to participate regularly in worship and study, to prepare for our classes and meetings, and to encourage and show Christian love to each participant, recognizing them as a unique child of God and a sister or brother in Christ Jesus. Teachers and small groups leaders, you may be seated. At this time, elders, trustees, and CEC members may please stand. Elders, trustees, and Christian Education Committee members, will you offer yourself to fulfill your special calling?
We offer ourselves to the special calling we have received.
God's help, promise to participate regularly in worship, prayer, and study, to prepare and attend meetings faithfully, and to provide the best possible resources for Christian education in our church. We promise to support and encourage all those called to Christian education leadership in our congregation and to provide and participate in opportunities for lifelong learning. I ask the rest of the congregation to stand at this time. Members and friends of the congregation, will you offer yourselves to fulfill your special calling? We have offered ourselves to God. Help us now, O God, to fulfill our calling and grow in wisdom and knowledge and grace through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, we turn our hearts and our minds to a time of giving, and we remember that no matter how much we have to give, as long as we are willing to give to God, that is what is important. And a special reminder that we will be taking a second mile offering, since it is a fifth Sunday. And our second mile offering this Sunday is going to the Board of World Mission for hurricane relief, I think specifically Hurricane Dorian. A lot of difficult areas who have been hit hard by hurricanes previously got hit even harder by this last one. So any way we can do to help them, we appreciate it. And we remember that no small act of kindness will be unappreciated or unutilized by God, that God can utilize every single resource on his behalf. So let us now give of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Please rise. Let us pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for teaching us the value of humility. Help us to not judge the needs of others, but to look for the presence of Christ in the needs of all. Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer and reflection with God. You'll see you have an insert in your bulletin this week talking about Day of Hope Sunday. I want to bring special attention to that in our prayer concerns. This is actually a countywide initiative. Hundreds of churches in Tuscarawas County and Stark County are celebrating Hope Sunday, and this is to stand with those who are struggling with addiction, those who are helping people, those who have worked through the recovery process. We realize even more and more that addiction is becoming such a serious part of our lives, and that we are called to serve, we are called to help. There'll actually be, I don't know if it's on the insert, but I'll make sure I get the opportunity for you all to view it, but there is a Day of Hope Sunday video that Rick Arredondo, if you know that name, he's the head of our business association in town, does a lot of good work with the churches, but he shot a video with somebody who's worked through recovery and all the steps, talking about how important this day is, the reminder is. Governor DeWine and his office actually got involved with it, so it's great to see how many people are coming together on this day. But we remember, I think everybody knows a family or somebody who's been touched by the demons of addiction, so please keep those people in your hearts and your minds, not just this Sunday, but every Sunday. Other prayer concerns that we remember this week. Norm Cadrey had elbow surgery this past week, and he is recovering and getting strength. Surgery went well. He's doing well. Just pray for him on his road to recovery. For Julie Thomas, who had surgery Tuesday at Cleveland Clinic, a friend of Janet West. For Doris Gardner, Linda Karcher's mother, who celebrated her 90th birthday. What a celebration that is. Linda is actually at church with her mom celebrating, so we wish Doris a happy birthday and well wishes. We also offer sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Max Canfield, Reverend Max Canfield. He is a cousin to Becky Canfield. He passed away this past week. He was the pastor of the First Church of the Brethren in town since 2001. Service will be held Thursday at 6 p.m. in the funeral home at Guybes Chapel. We pray with them in our community. I remember Max very well from our ministerial association since I came here. He always had a smile on his face and a pleasant demeanor. And I remember the beautiful job he did with Ted's Liebensloft here. And we continue to uplift him and his family in prayer. And we remember Christian education this Sunday as well. As we think about all the teachers and the staff that we've installed, all the students who will be learning, young and old, I continuously remind people you're never too old to learn something new. And every single year we have a great plethora of opportunities in Christian education. And for a church our size, we should be very grateful for that and seize the opportunities to grow and learn with one another. Let's take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful that you are with us in all seasons. When we think about our world as we go from summer to fall, And we remember that as the leaves change, you renew within us and remind us of all the small acts that you are doing, not just for creation, but for us in our own world. And we are so grateful for the thousands of moments that lead us to the destination you call us to be, so we can be your servant and your disciple. We pray for the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, friendship, those who are struggling to seek God, those who are struggling to feel God. May they somehow, some way, feel their presence in our lives, because we know that you don't run away, but sometimes you are harder to find. So help us to seek you with as much passion and energy and enthusiasm as we can. And gracious God, we realize that there are things we have done and there are things we have not done. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have fallen short of your glory, but still you surround us with so much grace and so much mercy. And we think about today on the day of hope, those who are struggling, those who feel like they are at the bottom of the pit. Help us to remember that we can still help. We can still seek ways to help people get out of the pit. To remember the days of resurrection, days of promise, days of hope will be upon us. Because you, God, bless us with the gift of positivity and remind us that no matter how bad a day gets, that it can be reborn, it can be resurrected, it can be re-energized and gifted to you. So we thank you for all that you give us. Help us to pay attention this week to all the small acts of creation and kindness that are presented to us in your name. We pray. Amen.
First scripture reading is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in the princes and mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets his prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Danielle. Our gospel today comes from the 16th chapter of Luke, verses 19 to 31, the rich man and Lazarus. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will also come, so they will also not come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite the children to come forward for our children's chat. What's that? I can get that during the opening song. That's fine. Thank you. Good morning. Did you all have a good first day of Sunday school? Yeah? Good. It's an exciting time. So we're going to talk about our skill level, some things we're good at, some things we struggle at. So this is going to be an active children's chat. So let's stand up right here. So if you feel like you're really awesome at something or really good at something, I want you to run all the way to this side. If you feel like, yep, you can do that. If you feel like you're okay, I get along with something, I want you to run right to this spot. So can you run here? Run right here. Or don't, walk, whatever. Do whatever you got to do. And if you really struggle with something, I want you to run all the way over here. So if you need help, a lot of help with something, that's okay. So now I'm going to give you the specific things that we're going to talk about. So soccer. If you're awesome at soccer, I want you to run over here. If you're okay with soccer, and if you need a lot of help with soccer, that's okay. So we got a couple of people that are okay. Aubrey loves soccer. She scored a ton of goals. All right. Eating dessert at dinner. Is that something that's easy for you or something that's hard for you? All right. Here's a difficult one, or maybe. We'll see. Eating broccoli and spinach as part of your dinner. Is that easy for you or hard for you? Have you ever had broccoli and spinach? You would eat broccoli and spinach, Aubrey? Okay, there you go. We're honest here. Nick, you like broccoli and spinach? All right. Running really fast. Is that something you're good at or is that something you struggle with? Who can run really fast? There we go. All right, what about this one? Singing in public. That's honestly, I'm running over here. I'm one of the last people to sing. All right, doing homework. Who's easy for them to do homework? It's the first thing they do when they get home. They want to be done with it. Who has their parents kind of have to pull them by the ear and make them do homework? Kind of in between. Depends what it is, I think, sometimes what the assignment is. All right, this is an interesting one. Who here would be really awesome at making lunch for your family if mom or dad was sick? Would that be something you'd be good at or something you'd be bad at? Nick would be good. Okay. What would you make, Nick, if mom was sick? What's that?
Sandwiches.
Aubrey, Rylan, what would you make if mom and dad were sick? You just eat some, get the SpaghettiOs out?
Fruit salad.
Fruit salad. That would be pretty good. All right. This is your last one. Who here is good at loving Jesus? Is it something you're good at, something you're okay with, or something you're bad at? All right, okay. Aubrey, run to this side. Here we go. See, Aubrey just wants to show how hard it can be sometimes to go from one way to the other. All right, you can come back here. Come back down. So who here spent time in a different section? So who had something that they were good at, okay at, and bad at? Did everybody have something that they were kind of different about? So what do you think that teaches us about our own skill levels? Rylan?
That no one's the best at anything.
No one's the best at everything. I like that. Aubrey? You just have to keep trying to get better. I think that's a good lesson. Nick, what were you going to say? Okay, kind of similar to what Rylan said. You guys did a great job learning from that, because our lesson today is talking about the importance that sometimes we're going to be really good at stuff, and sometimes we're going to be really bad or have bad luck in our life. But guess what? We need to remember when we're really good that we can help people that are struggling and that when we're struggling, it's okay to ask people for help with other things, because that's how we get good at things. Like me, when I was your age, and my parents needed lunch or anything, and they were sick, I'd be terrible at that, because I was the baby in the family, so it was never my job to cook anything. But as I got older, I've slowly learned that I can make SpaghettiOs and peanut butter and jelly, and I'm slowly getting better at grilled cheese, but it's a process. And the older you get, the more you're going to learn and grow, and it's okay. But know that no matter where you are on the spectrum on something, just like Aubrey said, you got all of that time to grow. And in our path with loving God, there are going to be times where we run to that corner and we're going to struggle. But we can always run back to God, and we always have that opportunity. What's that? Yep, you can work your way down the middle. So let's take a moment in prayer, and then you all can grab a snack. Let's pray together. Gracious God, I ask that you bless these children. Thank them for their energy, their enthusiasm, their ability to run for you, God. Help us all to run the race of perseverance. And no matter where we stand in our faith spectrum, whether our hearts feel full of a ton of faith or whether we're struggling, help us to know that we can always run back to you, because you will care for us, you will love us, and you will guide us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab a snack. Yeah. All right. Good job. You may remain seated as we join together in song. Gracious God, I ask that you open up our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you have to say to us, that we can listen at your feet and carry your word in all we say, all we do, and all we pray. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So So who are the people in your world that you see with your eyes, but not necessarily with your heart? I'm talking about the people when you walk around in your community or in the store or you're pulled over at a stoplight, the people that you're afraid to make eye contact with because they might ask something of you. They might want something of you. The reason I love that this parable shared by Jesus and described by Luke is because it is one of the few where the person on the margins, the person on the outside, the person who is struggling is given a name in the scripture story, and that name is Lazarus. And the person of power in this story is left completely anonymous. Very few parables and miracles account and take the name of the person on the margins. Very few have that person's name, that person going through the struggle. They're usually described as the Canaanite woman, the leper, the prodigal, the centurion, the lame man or the blind man, the deaf man. Not in this parable. This man has a name, and it is Lazarus. And it makes us think about, do we really see the people in our world that are struggling, that are going through hard times? Or do we just kind of ignore them? Do we put the blinders on? And we all struggle with this in some regards or another. Sometimes it's difficult to figure out what's the best way to help somebody out when they're going through a tough time. You know, I struggle with this in a very simple way. When, let's say, I'm at the gym or Walmart or someplace like that, and I see somebody with a cane or a walker, and they're struggling with something, and part of me says I want to rush there and help them, and the other part of me thinks, well, maybe they don't want that much attention on themselves. They just want to be able to go apart with their day, and I become stuck in the mud almost because my heart goes and I want to help you, but I don't want to help you if you don't want help, if that makes sense. And it's struggle. We struggle with that mentality because we don't want to shame people or put people in a spotlight, but we also don't want to leave them in suffering and really make them feel like they're struggling on their own. The scripture we have in front of us from Christ challenges us not to be indifferent to the struggles of others or to provide solutions to other people's problems. See, if I took this lesson from Jesus to heart, my solution to all these awkward encounters at the gym or Walmart or all these other places wouldn't be to go up to that person and try to fix whatever issue they had, but it would start by asking that person what their name is. What's your name? And getting to know them a little bit. For once I begin to know a little more about somebody, their name, and hear a little bit about their story, where they're from, where they're coming from. When I get that perspective, it's easier for me to find a way to be helpful. Because there's a power and a gift in knowing somebody's name. For names leads us to needs, and needs opens the door for ministry to happen. That's why the first thing a church does, or a church should do, when they think about, oh, I want to serve my community more, they don't go to their own drawing board. They ask the people in their community, what do you need and how can we help you with that? What do you need and how can we help you with that? And it's very, very important to think about. I saw a great Facebook post this past week that said, when it comes to teaching our people about disabled people, we shouldn't teach them, don't stare. Let's start teaching them to say hello. Don't teach kids not to stare. Teach them to say hello, to treat somebody like a human being right in front of them. And I've learned some of that in my own experience, especially dealing with kids and having a cochlear implant, because I've dealt with a lot of 6-year-old kids who run up to me, looked up, what's that on your head? And it's always funny. I'll tease them first. I'll be like, that's where I hide the aliens. Or when I was single, I told them that was my chick magnet, but I'm a happily married man now. So no more chick magnet. Behind every great man is a wife rolling his eyes, right? But we have that awkward conversation with children at first, and then after I tell the joke, and then I explain them a little bit about what this does, and we have a conversation about that. And before you know it, I'm not that person with that weird thing on my head. I'm Ben. I'm that person they just talked to, had a conversation with, and made them laugh. And I think if we had more of that approach with children, Because as adults, that's not what we're taught to do, to ask people about what their challenges or what they're going through. We're taught to look the other way, to just ignore the person. But maybe what we need to learn to do is to say hello sometimes, to introduce ourselves, to get to know somebody. Because small acts of kindness, they make a big difference in our lives. Let me give you an example. Small acts of kindness. For 5 years, I had the one cochlear implant on my right side. And I had one of my very good friends, with very little fanfare or attention, he would always try to save me a seat all the way on the left side, whenever we were going out to dinner, whenever we were hanging out with friends. So everything I could hear would be on what I would consider my strong side. And that friend would go out of his way to do this for me. I don't know if any of my other friends noticed or saw the little thing that my friend was doing. But for me, that made such a huge difference that I saw that person cared for me, that person respected me, that person wanted to make sure that my experience was the best experience it could possibly be. And I bet to that person, just saving a seat wasn't that big of a deal, but it was a big deal to me. And that's when I turned to our board. What acts of kindness make you feel appreciated? Let's look at these. Some of these, this one's from me. My wife lets the dogs out in the morning. She's the one willing to get up at 6:30 in the morning without even asking. I appreciate that because she realizes I'm the one home in the day having to deal with the dogs, so she's willing to do that. Someone goes out of their way to open a door. Think about how much that brightens your day when you're going into a shopping center versus the person who just opens it enough to get through and then you got to try to slide, and how that changes your attitude throughout that whole day out there. When someone thanks you for something you've done, I think that's important. So we don't say thank you enough in our culture. I'm sure a lot of our CEC Sunday school opening, when we were talking about gratitude last week, gratitude is such a key aspect. Paying for meals for people behind you at a fast food place or even a gas station. Somebody mentioned they had a dinner paid for them at Applebee's last night. What time were you there, and do you remember what that person looked like? That would be my question for you. But no, think about that. The idea that a stranger is willing to help you, and often I think 90% of the time, especially when it's in a drive-thru, you can't even catch a glimpse of this person. So all you know is that they shared some type of kindness with you. Hopefully you paid it forward. When you hear thank you, a handwritten thank you note. It's important when people, it's so easy to send an email or do something, but when you take the time to actually write something to somebody. I think our cares and prayers group is most impressed with this because we send out all these thank you cards and we think it's just a small little thing, but the people that come back to us are so appreciative of just this little card they received in the mail. I think I always appreciated this one, people who put pennies in the penny jar. I worked in a convenience store throughout college, so I always appreciated the people who would pay it forward, because I'm not somebody who carries a lot of change. All my change is in my car little cup holder, you would call it. So when it's 7:02 or 7:03, I always appreciated the person who was willing to put the pennies, and I too would be willing to give them back. Praise from authority, from a teacher. I think that's great when you get that respect from somebody who you really not just admire, but you respect so much. And they tell you that you've done something well, and it's not just fake praise, where everybody in the class gets an A+, and they tell everybody they're wonderful and awesome, but something you've had to work hard for, but appreciate. And when you look at all these things, notice these are not larger-than-life activities. Nobody put something that I would declare to be strenuous, or wow, that would be a lot of work, or a lot of difficulty, or you would have to save up a lot of money to do that type of kindness. These are all daily manageable things that we could all do. And it makes me feel connected to what we've called, has anybody heard of the butterfly effect? This idea that one moment in your life can impact thousands of moments. And if you do one act of kindness for a stranger or for another, that they pay it forward and they do another act of kindness for a stranger, and it keeps going and going, all from one small act of kindness. That's the God effect, I call that, because it's working together and you're seeing the dominoes fall, because kindness is powerful, kindness is contagious, and it makes such a huge difference. And we often come from the opposite mindset. when it comes to helping others. We often think, if we can't fix the problem for somebody else, then why should we bother helping them? It's easy to feel empathetic with the rich person in this scenario, because he may have looked at that person and thought, well, if I just give him a meal, that's one meal, or if I just do that, it's not going to get him out of the circumstances. But notice that Jesus in this parable did not blame the rich man for not fixing the problems of Lazarus, but for being indifferent and doing nothing to alleviate his suffering in that moment, in that time. And that's why we need to take a minute to walk a mile in another person's shoes. And I think often of the 80s movie. Has anybody seen the 80s movie Trading Places? Do you remember that with Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy back in the day? One of my favorite old movies to watch. But if you haven't, take a chance to watch it, because the movie is very similar to a lot of different movies, but it's based on this premise that Dan Aykroyd is this rich, wealthy stock trader in New York City or Philadelphia, one of those big cities anyways, and he has a wonderful life. And Eddie Murphy is this struggling man from the inner cities, homeless, worked his way through poverty, all these difficulties, and Dan Aykroyd is just disgusted by this man, thinking he would never live a lifestyle the way that Eddie Murphy had. But the rich people that Dan Aykroyd worked for were disgusting people, and they placed this bet that if they took away all the wonderful circumstances that they gave this Dan Aykroyd's character, and they put all those blessings upon Eddie Murphy's character, who's in poverty, that they would end up doing the same types of lives, living the same types of actions. And Dan Aykroyd, who never thought that, oh, if I was poor, I would do the same exact things that this person was struggling would do, turns out it didn't take long for him to realize that when he was in those situations, when he was in those circumstances, he was willing to do the same things that other struggling people were doing. And I think what this movie teaches is the idea of empathy, the idea that we don't know what another person is going through until we've been in that place, we've been in that situation, and we've encountered that circumstances. And that movie teaches the important lesson that empathy is such an important part of our society. Because until we have experienced suffering out of our control, until we have had that crazy week where no matter how much money we've saved, the furnace broke, the car broke down, and everything else happened, and we just didn't have enough to get out of that situation, we don't exactly know what other people who are struggling with. But we know that we have the opportunity to help. Because Jesus' lesson for us is that being indifferent to the suffering of others is not a way to avoid a situation, but you're taking a stance on a situation when you just ignore it. Because if you're not willing, it is saying that you're not willing to make an effort to help somebody in need. Archbishop Desmond Tutu said it best. He said, if you are neutral in situations of injustice, you have chosen the side of the oppressor. If an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse and you say that you are neutral, that mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. I always appreciate that quote. If you are neutral when an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse, that mouse will not appreciate you being neutral in that moment. And it's important to remember that. Because Jesus is not calling us to be the solution to other people's problems. So take a deep breath when you see the opportunity to help somebody, because you are not the solution to what that person is going through. Because we can't fix poverty on our own, but we can help the poor person on our street corner. Maybe we give them one of the blessing bags that we just made. We can't fix systemic racism or sexism on our own, but we can strive to treat all people like human beings and not stereotypes. And remember, that goes back to saying hello. Because once you say hello to somebody, it doesn't matter what race they have, it doesn't matter what religion they have, it doesn't matter where they come from, but that stereotype dies, and that person becomes a person in front of you. So say hello. And we can't fix millions of broken families on our own, but we can strive to be a loving part of our own family. We can strive to be a good example in our own family. Because we don't need to be the savior of the world, because we already have a savior, and it's Jesus Christ. We just need to show that his disciples, his followers, still care. They're still willing to follow the path of love and compassion that Jesus has laid out for us. We are called to show the world that our Savior lives, and he lives through each and every one of us. And we can do that with compassionate and faithful living. Compassionate and faithful living. We can do that by refusing to remain neutral to the suffering of others. For Jesus always stood on the side of the oppressed, and we should stand with our Savior. And remember that small acts of kindness, those small acts of kindness you all mentioned, can make a big difference in somebody's life. And you know that because you saw those small acts of kindness make a big difference in your life, in your day. So let us as Christians take ownership of that mentality. So when we have an opportunity to help, don't dismiss it and say, oh, I'm not going to do anything meaningful. Look at the opportunity and say, my small act of kindness could make a difference for somebody. It could be the helping hand they need. So we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to be God's instruments of peace for this world? Because we are called to serve. And in order to do that, we do not have to walk on water. We do not have to perform miracles. We just have to look for an opportunity to offer a helping hand to those in need. All you have to do is look for the chance to serve. So brothers and sisters, when we look at our world, when we look at the opportunities of kindness, let us look in our hearts and serve God, and let's get to work and make sure in those small acts of compassion in our lives that people can see that God is truly working through us every single day. And it doesn't take a lot, but with a little, God can do so much. And we have the opportunity to give, and to give faithfully, and to remind people of the hope that is to come, because the hope that already came. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, help us to pay attention this week. It's so easy to miss you on the surface as we are distracted by so many things in our world. But help us to pay attention not only to the people in need, but to the small acts of kindness that we may not necessarily always pay attention to, but people in our household, people around us, and even strangers provide us with. Well, help us to remember that we can make a difference, because the biggest difference was already made for us when you sacrificed yourself on behalf of us for our sins. Let us live in the hope and the faith and the love that sustains us and gives us everything we need every single day. So let us give from the full cup that has been given to us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Please rise as we join together for our closing song. forget to join us for cake for our birthday and anniversary Sunday and for our town hall to follow. Let's listen to the benediction from the Lord our God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.